I think Friday was already. I think Friday was already recapped. So let's start fresh. Yeah, yeah. I don't think they did any new information. Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, I wasn't there, but.
Start the Mishnah.
But let's start with the Mishnah, okay?
Good.
So the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amud Aleph 8a. We go back to our very dear Chatas Ha'of from Kinim. Chatas Ha'of. So if you have a bird Chatas, what is the status of Me'ila for birds, and particularly the Chatas Ha'of? Mo'alin ba mishehuktisha, from when it was sanctified, from when it was set aside. Okay, as soon as Rashi says you declared it, this is my Chatas Ha'of, yeah. Exactly. Then that is considered Me'ila. Okay? Meaning, this is, by the way, says Rashi, even if it was still alive. Meaning, even if nothing happened to it. No, Shechita, it's actually before any actions happened to it from one set aside. Nimlaka. So basically, the way it works for bird korbanot is we don't slaughter them. Well, bird korbanot, we don't slaughter all of them with a knife. We actually, the Kohen takes really a long fingernail and cuts through the neck. Okay, that's what's known as melika. What's the etymology of malak?
Malak.
Does it have to do with a fingernail even, or it's just a manner of flicking off a head or something?
Yeah,
I
I'll check it out if you want.
Yeah, it's just very close to your name, so maybe you would know.
For somebody with a lisp, I guess they can't say a chuk.
Exactly. So nimlika, once it has that go on.
So there's two stages that when it's kosher. One is when you make the declaration, as one is when, in fact, you do the Moloch.
Well, not when it's kosher, but when it begins Me'ila. When it begins Me'ila.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, it begins Me'ila, either Misha Uktisha, one step, Nimlaka. Now, look what's going to happen. We're going to add something. Hukshira lihi paseo bitvul yom uvamachusar kipurim uvalina. At the point that Malika happens, then it's able to become pasel, and then the Mishnah lists three things. Tvul yom, Uvmuchusar Kippurim, Uvalina. So Tvul Yom, basically the first two, are different types of people. So there's a process from the various types of halachic impurities that can occur. There are different steps to the process of how one becomes Tahor again. So these first two, Tvul Yom, is someone who has gone to the mikvah, but the day has not finished yet. Okay, he hasn't had the proper timing. Okay, so he's done all of the actions, but the timing has not actually been reached yet. So therefore, there's still like a little bit tame, so to say. And Mechusar Kippurim is a similar idea, where everything was done, but they actually, it's for tumos, for which at the completion of them, you need to bring a korban. And if you didn't yet bring the korban, that's called Mechusar Kippurim, right? Yom Kippur, but forgiveness. The various different korbanos provided forgiveness in this case. So if someone was Mechusar Kippurim, they were tame previously, and they'd gone through the whole process other than bringing their final korbanot, these two were considered, again, like a little bit tame, and their halachos are discussed at length in various mesechtas and places. So they can somehow make this korban pasul. We'll see exactly what that means, but presumably it means that if they touch it, the korban becomes tame and therefore pasul. And then uvelina, and then by leaving over, the Gemara previously also noted that lina can mean one of two possible things. Either it can mean that the blood was left over, or it can mean that the meat was left over. Tosfot here, actually over here, has both options. You can see it in Tosfot. Tosfot in this Masechet, I've noticed, and again, others point this out as well, I think, when I read introductions. Tosfot's a little bit unique. Tosfot seems much more like a linear commentary than a sort of Tosfot's classic style of asking questions from other mesechtas and things like that. Mm-hmm. Also of note on this page, you'll notice this page is very, very short. Nothing we've said so far is really, really hard. But you'll notice Tosfot seems to have a lot of Dibur HaMachils. Mm-hmm. In fact, Tosfot seems to have more Dibur HaMachils than is what written in our Gemara. The reason for that is because, like in many cases, the Mishnayot in the Gemara sometimes had different placements in the different versions and the different printings and manuscripts. Sometimes you had a longer chunk of Mishnah at the beginning, and then the Gemara commented on each part of it. Sometimes you had shorter chunks of Mishnah interspersed, and the Gemara would comment on them like that. So it's clearly Tosfot over here. You can see, Olat Ha'of Mo'alin Ba. From that point, you see there's a little comment in the Mesorah Hashas. Elu Diburim Me'olat Ha'Dibur HaMatzal HaKomet Shayach LeMatnitin Daf Tet Amud Aleph. He says, just Tosfot had the rest of the Mishnah, meaning the next Mishnah that we have on Tet, Tosfot actually had over here on this page. So we got left with Tosfot's comments, but we don't really have the Mishnah. But anyways, this is the Mishnah so far. That again, stage one is Misha Huktisha, when you set it aside, there is Me'ila. Stage number two, when you did Melika, then it can become possible by Tful Yom, Mechusa Kippurim, and Lina. Huz Adama, once the blood was sprinkled, Chayav and Alav Mishum Pigal Noser V'Tame, that's when you can already be Chaya for Pigal Noser and Tame, which we've discussed many times. V'ein Ba Me'ila, and it no longer has Me'ila at that stage in the game. Okay, so again, three stages, Shehuk Tisha, Nimlaka, and Huza Dama.
I forgot if I covered this, but is there a special formula that you have to say when you actually designate something for a korban?
So, yes. So Rashi here notes that it is Bipeh. When we were back at the beginning of Kinim, so a long time ago at this point, we've already finished about a month together, crazy. But when we started, we talked about there's two types of designations, one called a neder and one called a nedava, right? So the neder and the nedava differed only in whether you sanctified that particular animal, harezu, ola, harezu, whatever it is, or whether you sanctified, or whether you promised to bring a animal, and you said, hare alai, I am responsible for a animal. Okay. Says Gemara, katani, hukshira, lipasil b'tvul yom b'mechuzar kippurim b'lina. Says the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah that at the point of Melika, it was able to become pasil by a tvul yom and by a mechuzar kippurim and by lina. Says the Gemara, lipasil in aval litamuye lo. Why does it use the language of lipasil b'tvul yom b'mechuzar kippurim b'lina? Normally, when it comes to people that are impure touching something, we say it becomes Tame, litamuye, says the Gemara. The implication is, lipasel in, that it does become pasel, meaning the korban is invalid of a litamuye lo, but it doesn't become, right, tame enough, says Rashi, to make other things tame. Okay, meaning, we're talking about degrees of tumah. Again, a very basic background. I can't obviously go through all of tumah and tahara here, but the basic idea is, each subsequent transfer of tumah generally lowers the tumah by one degree. There are various degrees of tumas. Afa tumah, Rishon l'tumah, Sheni l'tumah, Shlishi l'tumah, which are just numbers, really. First of tumah.
But it's a dead person is a tumah first class, and somebody who touches the tumah is a second class.
That's correct.
And so on down.
Correct. Although the first and second don't correspond to the halachic Rishon and Sheni. Right, I should just note. But the point is there are different classes of tumah, and each additional time that something or someone tame is touched, it reduces a class. Notably, obviously, it doesn't go on forever. There are certain things, and again, when we learn taharos together, if we learn taharos together, we'll see which points, what objects can no longer become tame, which points people can no longer become tame, and which points, in fact, tumah would continue to be passed.
So the use of the really posel doesn't mean that it's tame. It means that it could be eaten. If it's possible, you can still eat. It's possible for a korban, but it certainly can be eaten as being chutzla korban, no?
I'm not understanding. If it was already nimlika, then it's, right, then, yeah, then you still have me'ila. You can't eat it. You have me'ila. That's what the mesechet is about.
I understand, but it uses...
So how am I going to eat it?
They use the word lehiposel, not
I understand. I understand. Rashi says what that means is to letame acherim. If it was, if you could in some way eat it, then that would be me'ila. Right, because it's kodesh; it's already sanctified. So the only way to unsanctify it is huz adama.
Right.
Right. So I don't think that what it could mean here is that it's just pasul as a korban, but not. But the point is, perhaps again, maybe if it was chulin, this would be a different story. Okay. The bottom line is, however, the Gemara says that there's an implication from the Mishnah that, in this case, because it says, okay, huchshara li pasel b'tful yom v'chutzik v'form v'alina. Lipasel in, that it would render the korban pasel, okay, you wouldn't be able to complete it. However, avalatamuye lo, if you were to have, for example, eaten that korban, it wouldn't make you tame. Okay, says the Gemara, matnitin mani, therefore, who is our Mishnah? Rabbanani, it must be the Rabbanan, the rabbis. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Tvul Yom Tchila Likadesh. A Tvul Yom is first to sanctify. What that means in English is that a Tvul Yom is considered, what he's saying over here, okay, a Rishon Lituma, so a first degree, which is really lower than the father of Tumas, but really, he's the first degree Tuma, we call a Rishon Lituma, and he's Tchila Likadesh, and when he touches, therefore, when he touches something holy, when he touches this food, when he touches this korban, what happens? The korban becomes a sheni, a secondary, okay, a second degree tame. Rabbi Meir Omer, mitame es hakodesh uposel es hatruma. What this means is that he is a sheni, okay, mitame es hakodesh, he can make kodesh tame, and he can pasel truma, says Dehusheni Umashvi Lakodesh Shlishi, says Rashi, that this person himself, unlike the first opinion of Abba Shaul, is not a first degree Tameh, but actually a second degree Tameh, and therefore when he touches the Korban, he will make the Korban into a third degree Tameh. Okay? Vachachamim Omrim, and the rabbis say, no. Kishem Shehu Posel Mashke Truma Veochle Truma, Kachu Posel Mashke Kodesh Veochle Kodesh. Okay? They say there's no actual tumah that's transferred over here. Again, they couch it in terms of basically what can accept ritual impurity versus what can't. That's what they're talking about mashke truma and ochle truma. But ultimately, what they say is this itself will be ruined. It will become quote unquote tameh, but it will not have the ability. The animal, if it would be eaten, would not have the ability to pass on tumah to anybody else. So clear. So we have a three-way machloket. Abba Shaul says the person is a first degree, so he makes the korban a second degree. Rabbi Meir says the person is a second degree, so he makes the korban third degree. And Chachamim say nothing's happening over here, so presumably third degree and fourth degree, but a person can't become fourth degree. In that way, so not to worry. Okay.
But the bird still becomes tummy.
That seems to be the implication of Rashi. Okay, even though we use language of puzzle, I don't know. Maybe there is an opinion out there that says really it doesn't become tummy at all, and maybe the psul is because maybe it's a rabbinic psul that says we don't want people to have tummy people touching the korbanot. Maybe. But again, Rashi seems to say it itself becomes tameh, but it cannot pass it on even when it's consumed. Mm-hmm. That's Rashi. Okay. Says the Gemara. Sorry, I lost the spot over here. Amar Rava. Rava says, La Abba Shaul, according to Abba Shaul, Ma'ala Asu Bekachim, Shavinu Rabbanu Letzvul Yom Kirishon. Abba Shaul says, Rava, let me explain you the opinions. When it comes to Abba Shaul's opinion, the first opinion is that the rabbis made a Tvul Yom like a Rishon, le Rabbi Meir, ki ochel, sheni. Okay? And according to Rabbi Meir, again, they made eating the food like, sorry, over here. Sorry? Like second degree, correct. So again, Rava is explaining how this is different than usual. So if you look in Rashi over here, we have Rashi over here. Yes. Amar Rava Abba Shaul. Everyone see this Rashi? We ultimately had a problem. Okay, Rashi explains us the following. What's Rava coming to say over here? Amar Rava Abba Shaul nami de amar tchila lekadesh dika avid lekadesh sheni mitarta nami masnisin devaret ful yomi do raisa posel veno mitame. Rabbanan asu mala bekachim. To have a tful yom tchila lekadesh, to have a ki ochel rishon veosa sheni, umas nisin bedoraisa ketani de'eno el apostle. Says Rava, you, the Gemara, just concluded that our Mishnah must follow the opinion of the Chachamim because the Chachamim are the ones that say it doesn't transfer on any tumah. Says the Gemara, not true. Says Rava, not true. We can also read our Mishnah according to the other opinions. Le'Abba Shaul says Rava, my last bekachim shavinu rabbanu letful yom kirishon. It's the rabbis made a special rule that they considered the tful yom here to make a rabbinic decree that the Tfulyom has the status of a primary, of a first degree Tameh, but really from the Doraita level, all he does is make it Tameh. Really on the Doraita level, it would not pass on Tumah further, but Abba Shaul is saying that from a rabbinic perspective, we create a status of primary Tameh. Therefore, we can read our Mishnah even according to the Abba Shaul. Same thing with Rabbi Meir. L'Rabbi Meir ke'ochel sheni. L'Rabbanan. However, according to the Rabbanan, says Rava, kevan d'taval, since this person already, the Tful Yom, already has gone to the mikvah, kalash tumah. The tumah has weakened. Pasul mashvi, tameh lo mashvi. And therefore, he only has the ability to make it pasul and not the ability to create tumah over here that can be passed on. Okay, so this is ultimately their difference in opinion is not whether or not he actually is Tameh Mide Oraisa, and whether he imparts Tumah Mide Oraisa that can be shared with other things or other people, but rather their machlokas is from a rabbinic perspective, which additional stringency did we consider the Tfuliyom in this case? And did we consider the Mechusar Kippurim in this case? Did we consider them like Rishon, Sheni, or did we say, no, we leave them as they are, and since they've gone to the mikvah, that's already enough to remove them from the Tumah, but of course, a Tameh person that would touch it, that's later on in the Mishnah, right? Right? Chayav and Alav Mishum Pekul Nosar Tameh. If a Tameh person touches it, that of course makes the Korban Tameh, makes the Eater Tameh, according to all opinions. Questions?
I'm not sure I follow.
So, one word from where? From Rava?
No, he says Tameh Lo Meshaveh, right? So he says,
yeah.
Avalayinu Yechol La'asad Tameh, Belo Asu B'chachavim Ma'ala, Kal, Elahishiru Adino Kadin Torah.
Yes.
Mishnatainu Omeret Shechata Ta'of Niselet Bilbad Mikoach Magat Vildom.
Yes.
Right? So it just becomes Posel, not Tameh.
Right.
Okay. Lo Meshaveh So it doesn't even have the power to pass it on.
Correct. Right? That's what that means. Meaning...
Yeah.
So
correct. It's different than what the Torah Dimei Rai said. As you say, the Rabbanan has changed the law.
Correct. So what Rava's saying is, because we have a machloket between Abba Shaul and Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, don't think that they have a different perception of the status of the Tful Yom according to Torah law. Right. Our original thought was that, yes, our Mishnah only works with the rabbis, with Rabbanan. Why? Because the other ones say that it makes it Tameh, and it says as Rava, no. Again, what Pasul means here, again, from my limited understanding, is that the Korban itself becomes Tameh, but is unable to pass on Tumah. That's what Pasul means. It's Eino Yachol L'Tameh Acherim.
Okay.
Correct? Exactly. Meaning that it's interchangeable language.
Yeah.
But essentially, when something becomes is touched by someone Tameh, we call it pasul. It's unfit. Yeah. Why? Because it has received a little bit of that Tumah.
Right.
Even though, again, the rabbis say it's not enough to pass it on to the next stage.
Right.
But that's what pasul means as opposed to Tameh. Tameh would mean that if I now eat it, I become Tameh.
Yeah.
Right? Now, again, we originally wanted to say that the Mishnah could only follow the opinion of the rabbis. Rava is coming and telling us, no. Everyone agrees about the basic status of the Tful Yom and the Mechusar Kippurim, which is that they actually only create Pasul and not full Tumah.
Yeah.
However, again, these are rabbinic decrees. That's what Abba Shaul and Rabbi Meir are talking about.
Okay.
Good.
Pasul is only defined... Pasul doesn't always mean this. Pasul.
No. It does not at all always mean this. It's because the only implication. Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, this is what I got from Rashi, and even when you read it in our scroll, if you go back, maybe I'll just come over. Because that line that you just read, right? This is what it says, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Both Rashi and our scroll, what they're saying is that when something becomes Tameh, but it can't pass on the Tumah, all that it's essentially done is ruin the Korban. The practical implications is that the Korban is invalid.
Yeah.
But I do believe it is Tameh, because it was touched by something Tameh, when a Korban is Tameh, that means that someone who eats it becomes Tameh, and we don't want to use that language here. That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's a dead end.
Exactly. Yeah. but we don't want to call it tame because it's not real tame, like the other types of tame, which if, again, if you, yeah.
Nice to know that Rashi follows art school.
Exactly.
That's a carrier status, but it's not infectious.
Correct. Exactly. Right. That is, that's spot on.
From a doctor's perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a carrier, exactly. But you can't infect anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it now.
Okay, so this is when you've sprinkled the blood. Okay? And again, you lose Mi'ila, says the Gemara.
Is it worth comparing, just as background, what happens with birds in terms of the service as compared to what happens that we discussed before with animals, like sheep?
So the Gemara has to try to work through it. So we're going to actually see that in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss, because different birds actually have different processes and different rules. Ola sa'of versus chata sa'of. And there may not be sprinkling required, which is what the Gemara is going to talk about now.
You talked about it in terms of the
Malika.
The Malika.
Yeah, the Malika is equivalent to shechita according to mainstream thought. But the Hazah, as we're going to see, is actually vastly different. It may not be required over here. Let's take a look at that. How much time do we have?
Another 20 minutes. Yeah.
At least 15 20, minutes, okay.
20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing it at the 10 and being concerned, but now I see. 15 minutes, okay, beautiful. Yeah, this should be lots of time to finish, hopefully to the next Mishnah maybe. We're going to be now Dafyomi people if we get to the next Mishnah over here.
Okay.
So, exactly. Who's the dama chayavin v'chulei? Says Igmar Mi'ila, who deleka aval isura ika. The implication is, and this was the implication probably that you reviewed on Friday. I don't know if you remember this, but basically there was this implication that for some reason when it says ein mo'alin, okay, that means that, however, it's still, you shouldn't, right, that the Gemara says, Mi'ila hu delekav al isura ika, you can't eat it. If you eat it, you violated some prohibition. Asks the Gemara, fe'amai, hamamona de kohanim, who again, at the time that you finish this process, it's completely the kohanim's. So why on earth would there be any problem with you eating it? And we give the same answer we gave there, Amar Rabbi Chanina, leyotzin v'Rabbi Akiva, he... That the Amar Zrika Moeles Liyotze, that Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that if you had a korban that exited the courtyard, quite possibly only partially exited the courtyard as per our discussion last week, but ultimately if it exited the courtyard and then came back in, Rabbi Akiva said Zrika was still effective, and therefore, okay, even though he says it's effective to remove Me'ila and there's no Me'ila, still he would say that it's Aser to eat it. There's a prohibition on eating this animal. Again, the Zrika was effective, but also can't undo the fact that you've taken it out of the courtyard. So again, it's effective to remove Me'ila, but not effective to remove the Psul. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, right? Damar Zrika Malsli Yotzei Delav Bas Achilahi, that in his opinion, you would not be allowed to eat such a korban. Exactly, you'd have to burn it. Exactly what we said. Amrav Hun Amarav. Ravun Amarav says, Mitsui Chatas Ha'of Eino Me'akev. So here we have a new phrase.
From juice. Okay?
Mitsui. Very the good. From meats. And this is, again, a little bit gruesome to think about. But the way that the blood was put on the Mizbeach for these korbanot was with juicing. What does juicing mean when it comes to a bird? You had the bird whose neck was severed by the fingernail. You squish it onto the Mizbeach, and that's how the blood would get onto the Mizbeach. Again,
the
not pleasant.
Maybe the blood doesn't drop out of a bird. You have to squeeze it out from the bird.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the point is you're applying pressure against the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
And that's what caused the blood to come out of the bird. That's why it's called Mitsui, right?
Mitzah.
Malika.
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 Okay.
After the Malika. And then we're going to see Hazah is coming up right soon. Okay?
The fact that you have to squeeze it doesn't hold up the process. That's what it's saying, right?
So let's read.
Yeah.
Okay. Meaning?
Is there a delay in time between the trigger and the pushing?
Good question.
We want to make sure the animal's dead before you start.
Right. So I think we do. I think we. Right. Well, no. It's definitely dead first. I should say. There's the way the process works here, right? If you look in Rashi over here, okay.
Jesus.
Right, that huzah, sorry, is done first over here, right? That you have hazah, and then you do what's left of the blood that you put against the Mizbeach.
So he, if I'm not mistaken, which I don't know which you agree with, right?
Yeah, la'achar hazah yimatzei.
That's. He says, "Eino me'akev et ha'kapara, shemekiven shehi sami damat achatat afal pi shalom mitza nishlama avodat matan damam akamakevet nitchapru habalim v'yetsu yidei chovat yetsu yidei chovatam yisei abasar midei me'ila."
Yep. That's what we're talking about. No, we're talking about Inam Akev. Yes. So that's right. Let's go back to the Mishnah for a moment, right?
Okay,
if you did Hazah. So again, here's the process. You do Malika, you do the Hazah, then you do the Nimtza Damo. Okay? So again, stage one, I mean, again, obviously you're Makdish it. Stage one of the actual Korban process, you do Malika. Stage two, you sprinkle the blood. Then stage three, you squish out the blood. Okay, vanish ar badam yimatzei al yisod hamizbeach. That's what the pasuk says. We're going to quote that. That's what we're going to quote that pasuk. That's what's left of the blood gets again juiced onto the mizbeach. So now let's read the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara, who's adam achayavin v'chule mi'ila. Sorry, that we read. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav mitzri chata sa'of eino me'akev. So the again the juicing out of the blood does not hold it back. Okay, in regards to okay, Rashi mentions kapara. Rashi mentions Me'ila, okay? Meaning we might have thought that as part of the Mishnah, which says you need to sprinkle the blood, that you also need to squeeze out the rest of the blood, says Rav Huna Amar Rav, no, you do not need to do that. It is as soon as you did the sprinkling, the initial sprinkling, that is enough to remove it from Me'ila, okay? Now, the side point about Kapara is it's true, but it's not really what we're dealing with. Let's continue. Says the Gemara another opinion, and explains the Gemara, or explains Rav Huna Amar Rav, why is this the case? Ditani Rav, because Rav had in his text of the Mishnah, huzadama, that his blood was sprinkled. So sprinkled means, as soon as it's sprinkled, you're done. It's already been removed from Me'ila. Rav Ada Barahava, Amar Rav Ada Barahava disagrees. And he says that Amar Rav, Rav said, mitzui chata sa'of me'akev, that you actually need to do the juicing, Vitani Rav, and Rav had in his Mishnah, he taught Mitza Dama, that it didn't say Huza Dama, like in our text, but Rav's text said Mitza Dama. You juiced out the blood. So we've got an opinion about what did Rav say, and what did Rav have in his Mishnah. According to the text that he had in his Mishnah of our text of Huza Dama, all you need to do was the sprinkling. According to the opinion that he had in the text of his Mishnah, Mitzadama, you had to have done the juicing as well, and it would be required. Okay, this is the machloket that we have in the opinion of Rav. Says the Gemara Tashma, come in here, which is a proof. V'hanish arba dam yimatzei al yisod hamizbeach, the pasuk that we said, the leftover blood should be juiced to the yisod, to the foundation of the mizbeach, hatas hi. This is what the pasuk says, okay? Again, that which remains of the blood should be juiced to the foundation of the Mizbeach. This is a chatast. So says the Gemara, Bishlam al Ravada Barahava, according to the opinion of Ravada Barahava, which was that that the juicing is required, this pasuk makes sense. Hainu dichtiv, that's why it says, Vehanish arbadam, that which is left of the blood, Yimatzei, El Yisod HaMizbeach, should be again juiced to the foundation, chatati. And that's what seems to make it a korban chatat, which implies that it only becomes fully a korban chatat after we have taken the leftover blood and juiced it.
And then it's mechaper.
Then it's a chatat. Okay? Ela l'Rav Huna, but according to that first opinion, that of Rav Huna, my vehanish ar. What then would this whole pasuk mean, that it says vehanish ar badam? Answers the Gemara, Kedetanya Dvei Rabbi Yishmael. We will follow the opinion that was taught in the house of Rabbi Yishmael, Shim Nish She'im Nishar. If there was blood left, you could do this. But you know what? In theory, had you done a really great job sprinkling, and there's no blood left, so good. So there's no need for doing Mitzat Hadam altogether. Okay, the fact is that it's not like you have to have some left over. If it was there, it was there, great, but it's not an integral part. Okay, says the Gemara, if this is the case, umay chatasi, so why then does it say only after this stage that it becomes a chatas? It should say, chatasi, v'hanishar badam yimatzei al yisod hamizbeach. Right, why is it only chatas after this stage? Answers the Gemara, Umay chatasi aresha. In fact, it's going on the previous stage of the sprinkling of the blood. Says the Gemara, again, what? The Torah decided to define it as a chatas at this stage, but really it became a chatas earlier. Even though the Torah only says the words once all of the possible processes are done, that's not what actually makes it into a korban chatas.
So where we're at now, we're not finished.
Right.
Is they're still saying it's after chatas, not after... It's after sprinkling.
Correct. This is because this is within the opinion of Rav Ada Bar Ahav of Rav Huna. Sorry. Yes, of Rav Huna. Rav Ada Bar Ahav is all good. The simple reading of the pasuk follows Rav Ada Bar Ahav's interpretation, whereas we've just defended Rav Huna, and we can say that even according to Rav Huna, this pasuk is readable. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, Alamayata, if so, gabe mincha dichtiv. He says, one second, if you're going to tell me that when you have something left over, it's if it's left over, but it's not integral, we're going to have a problem. Alamayata, if so, gabe mincha, by what we call a meal offering, dichtiv vehanoteret min ha-mincha, laron vanav, kodesh kodesh mei she'eshem, or other psukim, vanoteret laron vanav mei she'eshem, whatever, there's different psukim that say the same thing, as we'll see in a moment. Hachinami shimni tosar. Would you also say that's the interpretation of that pasuk? That, oh, if it's left over, right? As Rashi says, we'll read Rashi here, the second to last Rashi, it's about seven lines up. Hachinami shimni tosar. Okay? Tichsi vanoteret hachinami shimni tosar. Says Rashi, shekamatze tamincha imni totar. Deika shirayim limitzva shapir vimloni totar shim chasru shirayim bin kmitza laktara leslanba. The implication of that is let's say, okay, you had your mincha, you have a certain amount, you did kmitza, there's always going to be left over from the mincha. Now let's say magically, poof, the flour disappears, something happened to it.
Which the tough stuff you took or the stuff you left
over? The stuff you left over. Okay. And we're saying, because what does the word vihanoteret mean? If there was stuff left over. So he says, one second, if you're going to tell me hachinami shimni tosar, right, v'chitema hachinami, if you're going to tell me that's okay, v'atanya, but we have a bright that says, misolta umishamna al kol levonata, that you have to have from its flour and from its oil on all of its spices, prat shechasra solata v'chasra shamna v'chasra levonata. This excludes any case where you lost some of the flour or some of the oil or some of the spices. So we see that if it loses any of these things, in fact, it becomes pasul. It's invalid. So how can you tell me that the words vehanoteret mean if there was some left over, but it's not integral? We see that's not the case. It is integral that there be leftovers for the Kohanim. So what are you going to do? Amri, they say, hatam k'tiv vehanoteret krayetera. Answers the Gemara, there's a distinction. When it comes to the chatat, it only says v'hanishar badam once. It says whatever's left over, do it. Do the mitzadam. However, when it comes to the korban mincha, it says it twice. Okay, there's two different psukim, vanoteret min ha-mincha, and vanoteret, says Rashi, right, mimena. There's two different psukim, one which starts vanoteret mimena yachul aron vanav, and then the second one is vanoteret min ha-mincha aron vanav. So says the Gemara that even according to the opinion of Tana Devar Rabbi Shmuel, this vehanoteret would not mean sheim nitotar. It's not optional in this case. In this case, it's actually required, in which case we can solve this problem that was raised. Right, then they said, Amri, hatam k'tiv vehanoteret prayeter k'tiv. Then the Gemara asked a new question. Mativ avuad Shmuel, or possibly v'Rabbi Avin l'Rav Huna. So we had Rav Huna's opinion before, right? Again, Rav Huna was the one that we were defending, that mitzvei chatas ha'of is not required, strictly speaking. It's only optional. So, they asked him the following question, and here's where we get to the fact that there are different processes for the different birds. Echad chata ta'of, ve'echad ola ta'of, shemalkan umitza daman chutzlim koman, pasul vein bokari. So, if whether it was a chata ta'of or whether it was an ola ta'of, that you did malika and then you did the mitzat dam, out again with the machshava of chutzlim komo, pasul vein bokari. It is, although it is under the rubric of pigol, it's only pasul, and you do not get kares for it, meaning it's not real, full-fledged, 100% kares pigol. Okay? Chutz lizmanan, however, if you had thought chutz lizmanan while you were doing this, pigol v'chayavin alav kares. In that case, it is pigol, and you are chayav kares. Katani mias mitzadaman. But says Avua de Shmuel, says of Shmuel's father, you've got a problem here. This here, again, is a source. It's, again, it's a source from the Tanaim. And it says that which avoda are you doing to make it pigol? You're doing the juicing. So that makes it sound like what is the critical and required part of the korban is to do the mitzat hadam. Hu motiv la vehu mefarek la. Says the Gemara, he asked it, and he himself answered the same question. Litzdadin kitani. It's talking about the size. What is litzdadin kitani? Says Rashi, look at this. Dishemalkan mashma atarvaihu. Achata ta'of ve'aola ta'of. If you look in that case, right, it says you did two things in that braita. There's shemalkan umitzadaman. Malkan means you did the malika with the fingernail, and mitzadaman means you did the juicing. He says, that's just a side point. What does that mean? Umitzadama lokai ela aola ta'of dilet behaza'a ela mitzvoi. Explains Rashi, because we were talking about two types of korbanot. We're talking about the bird chatat and the bird ola. The bird ola does not have the same halachas at all as the bird chatat. The bird chatat, there's a sprinkling and then a mitzvah ta'of. However, for an ola, there's only v'nimtza dama. There's only the mitzah. Since in that case, there's only the mitzah, how can you talk about, how would you describe the process of that's applicable both to the chata sa'of and to the ola sa'of? You'd say the two things that they have in common. Malika and mitzah. But was mitzah intended literally to mean that mitzah is a required act for the chata sa'of? No. It's just because since they have that in common, we're using that, it is required 100% for the ola, because there is no hazah for the ola. There is no sprinkling for the ola. And that's why, he says, they use this language.
Okay. Sorry, wait a minute.
Yeah.
maybe I missed something. Didn't we spend 2 weeks talking about sprinkling blood from chatas and bird olas?
Yeah.
Yes.
About sprinkling above or below.
Yes, and the above, is... Squish.
That's the sprinkling there. That's the sprinkling.
Yeah.
We never knew that. I guess we should have taken this before.
Well, I mean, it is before it in the Masech. Right? That's what he says. The let's be haza ela mitzue. And that's why I guess it's above.
Okay.
Avachata sa'of di'ika haza me'achar shelo pigo b'haza lo mati mefag ela mitzue di mitzue enu ma'ake. If that's what, that's what Rashi concludes over here, let's just quickly finish up. You know what? Yeah, let's just stop here. I saw the Mishnah. I had tunnel Mishnah vision, but let's stop over here. Bottom line is that again we've defended the opinion of Ravuna, who says that that the mitzui hadam, the juicing of the blood, is not me'akev. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Oh, cool. So again, reminder 6:15
tomorrow.